Blog Talk Radio.
I see the clouds.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing tonight? This is your boy, Carl Reed here, and I'm coming at you live from the Waywalker Style Studio. Tonight, we got a special Tuesday edition of Bible study here for you. And, it's always a good thing, just to get into the Word of God. It's always a good thing to discuss, get into the Word of God. As I always say, we can never exhaust the Word of God, and that's why we're here. We're here to discuss, we're here to learn, we're here to teach, and we teach each other. We are learning from one another, and that's why we're here. That's why we do this, And truly, it's an honor to be here tonight. It's really an honor to be here. We've been away for a bit, taking care of personal needs, taking care of all our personal stuff. But, I'm here tonight, and hopefully Felix, my co-host, he will call in, and he will lead tonight's Bible study on steroids tonight. So we're just continuing off in throughout the book of Genesis. We've been going through the book of Genesis. I believe we're at chapter 30 or somewhere around there. We're midway through, but in regards, it's a good thing to be here. So, if anything, I'll just go ahead, go on with the show until he calls in or until he's available, So that being said, I'll just pray a quick prayer, and get started. So, Heavenly Father, tonight, I thank you for just allowing us to be here this evening, oh God. We thank you for just allowing us to come before you, Lord God Jesus. As we get ready to teach your words this evening, oh God, I pray for those that will have a desire to learn, those that have a desire to learn, they will open up their hearts, open up their minds on what we have to say. I pray, dear Lord God, that someone, oh God, will be blessed by why we teach, oh Lord. Someone, oh God Jesus, will gain knowledge and understanding through your words that's being spoken tonight, oh Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you'll just, oh Lord, bless every ear that's going to listen, oh God. Bless everyone that's going to listen later on, Lord God Jesus. And we thank you, dear Lord God, for those that have been tuning in faithfully, oh Lord God Jesus, those that have been archiving our shows, oh Lord God. Thank you for just, oh God, bringing them in, oh Lord God. And I pray that new listeners will come in, new listeners will be here as well. In your name, Father, I pray these blessings. Amen. So tonight, as I said, we're just going through the Bible tonight. It's just a Bible study, and of course, as I said earlier in the show, it's never too exhausting. You can never exhaust the Word of God. You read a chapter and you think that's it, but no, that's not it. You can never exhaust the Bible. You read a chapter and, when you go back, you'd be like, I missed that. Or I didn't see that. Excuse me. You could always go to Bible class. You could always go sit down and listen to a pastor teach the word or what have you. But we're here for those that, you know, maybe you don't want to go to Bible study. It's always important to go to Bible study, but maybe you want something different. Maybe you want like something interpreted differently. So that's why we're here. That's why we're here to bring you the Word of God, the only way we know how. So as I said, hopefully my co-host Felix will be on to go in depth. You know, he always likes to go in depth with the Bible studies, and that's what I like. You know, that's why I tune in whenever. That's why I tune in, or that's why I help host every now and again. Because, you know, Felix is a guy that always goes deep. You know, he always goes deep into dissecting and bringing forth and teaching the Word. So without further ado, I'll just go ahead, get started. Amen. Praise God. Oh yes, praise God. And for those, and once again, I just want to say thank you to those that have been tuning in. You know, those that have been tuning in, thank you. It's very appreciated. Thank you for those that do go back and listen to our older shows. You know, that's always a good thing. You know, you can never get too much, right? You can never get too much. And you know, it's always good to go back and listen to our shows. It's always a good thing to go back, because you might have missed something. You might have missed an important point, or you know, you might want to get a refreshing. You know, you might want to get refreshed on something. Be like, we had this discussion before, or yeah, you know, I totally missed that point. It's a good thing that I went back and got back and listened, right? So you know, I personally want to say thank you for that. So amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So tonight, I'm just going to read like a couple verses. I told you earlier that we're somewhere between Genesis 30 or somewhere around there. So I'm just going to carry on to the best of my ability. Pray for me. Please pray for me, because you know, as I said, it's not my first time leading Bible study, but you know, I'm just going to go ahead and start until Felix comes on. Amen. So here we are, Genesis chapter 30, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and it reads like this. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go into her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son, therefore called his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob his son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will come, will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Wow. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service, which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and pilled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flock conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. So there you have it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word tonight. So we see here in Genesis chapter 30 at the beginning, we have Rachel and Jacob. Now at the beginning of the scripture, we're seeing here that, you know, Rachel was barren, pretty much. We see that, you know, she was bearing Jacob no children, and, you know, Rachel was very envious of her sister, and of course she got to a point where she's like, you know, give me, he even says in the first verse here, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me give me children or else I die. Now, of course, we see here that, you know, Rachel's in need of children, right? She's not, for some reason or another, she's not able to bear children. She's not able to have children, and she gets to a point where she's like, okay, you know, give me, she's like, Jacob, give me children, or else I'm gonna die, you know. And it's quite funny, because, you know, even in today's world, we see that some people they're not able, for whatever medical reasons or what have you, to have kids, right? They're not able to have or bear children of their own. So in this case, Rachel was like, okay, you know, Jacob, here's the deal, right? You know, I want to have kids. You know, give me kids, give me children, or else I'm gonna die. Right? And of course, Jacob's response, well, he got angry. He's a little upset at that. He's like, who has withheld from the fruit of the womb? In verse two, it says, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel and said, Am I in God's stead? Who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Or in other words, who stopped you? You know, who stopped you from having children? You know, who stopped you from bringing forth fruit, right? And of course, in the next verse, chapter 3 here, she's like, okay, I can't bear my own children, right? I can't have children of my own. So this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do for me. I want you. Hold on. Here's what I want you to do for me. He's like, behold my maid, Bilhah. I hope I got that name right. Go unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. So of course now, Rachel's desperate. Rachel's really desperate. We see here that, as I said before, Rachel can't have, for some reason or another, Rachel's not able to have kids. and then she goes to a point where she asks Jacob, you know, give me children or else I die. So at this point, Jacob is like, you know, who withheld you from the fruit of the womb, or who stopped you from bearing children? And Rachel's like, okay, Here's what I'm going to do. Since I'm not able to have kids of my own, here, I want you to go with my maid. Here's my maid, Bilhah. Go ahead, take her. go ahead, take her, you know, go ahead, take her, and go into her so that I can have children by her. And that's what she does. She gives Jacob Bilhah, her handmaid to wife, and Jacob does what he's told. And later on, and so in verse 5 here, we see that Bilhah conceived and bears Jacob a son. So there you have it. Bilhah bears Jacob a son, and everybody's somewhat happy, I guess you can say, And of course, Rachel goes on and says, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore, called his name Dan. And of course, as fate would have it, Bilhah, Rachel's maid, once again, conceives again and bears Jacob a second son. And of course, Rachel says in verse 8, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she calls his name Naphtali. Okay, so as we can see, in the first few, in the first 8 chapters here, there's already a story being told. Rachel can't have kids, so she gives Jacob. She gives Jacob her maid, and her and Bilhah not only bears one child, but she bears two children for Jacob, I'm just gonna pause. I'm just gonna pause right there, real quick. As I said, if I were to relate this to today's world, people can't, there are people that may have like special medical issues or so forth, and you're not able to, some people aren't able to bear kids, you're not able to. Sorry, some people aren't able to bear kids. You're not able to have children of their own. So of course they might ask someone or maybe to bear, okay, here's the deal. I'm not able to have kids of my own. I'm not able to bear children. So I want you to do this small favor for me. I want you to go and have my child for me. I want you to go have my child for me. And as I said, it's not. I guess you can say it's like I haven't seen much of it in today's world. I know of a few instances where that's happened, where people, like, someone may not be able to have a child, and they ask someone else to help carry their kid for them, and so on, and that's the same case that Rachel had. She wasn't as I said before, she's not, as I keep repeating myself, she wasn't able to have kids, and therefore she gave Jacob her maid, Bilha, and so Bilha, her Rachel's maid, not only conceived one child, but conceived two children. Amen. So right now I have my co-host Felix on the line here. What's up, Felix?
How you doing, man? What's up? How are you? How's
everybody? I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just to bring you up to speed. I read Genesis chapter 30 this evening. I was just telling the beginning parts of this story with Rachel and Jacob.
Yeah.
As you probably know, Rachel was not able to bear children. And she basically told Jacob to give her children, or else she dies, or she's going to die.
Exactly.
That's pretty much it. And so Jacob was a little upset. You know, he's a little bit angry, and he pretty much asked, like, who withheld you from the fruit of the womb, or basically who stopped you from having kids. And so I was just explaining the fact that, you know, Rachel goes ahead and gives Jacob her maid Bilha, and Jacob goes into her, and her maid not only bears one child but two children. So I was just trying to explain in my own words the story here. So I'm not sure if you want to go ahead and take over, or you know, go ahead, put your own spin on things tonight.
Sure. Basically, it's very intriguing because the last time we left off reading last chapter in Genesis, I believe it was Genesis 29.
Yes.
And so basically, we read how Jacob had fled to Laban after he had, you know, a sibling rivalry with his brother Esau, after he had deceptively tricked him by
right.
taking away his blessing, which rightfully belonged to his brother Esau, and since he was the oldest son. And in ancient times, the oldest son was the main heir because he was the firstborn.
Right.
So basically, you know, when Esau found out that Jacob deceitfully took his blessing away from him, that his own brother, his own twin brother, all right, cheated him once again, okay, because this isn't the first time he cheated him or tricked him. He cheated him before when he talked him into, you know, convincing him to sell him his birthright, that is, the inheritance rights, as the oldest son. And basically, that played a key, because the inheritance right was basically given to the main heir, who was the firstborn. Now, Esau, I mean, I don't know, I would have to say the dumbest thing that he could ever do and did do was to give away the main thing his father had given him to be the sole heir of his father's inheritance after his father died, which was
uh-huh.
his birthright. Why would he do a stupid thing like that? And he did it all just for a bowl of lentil stew. You know, he did it for a
yeah.
bowl of stew, lentil stew. I mean, it was just all that for a meal, you know? And the thing is that also, if you look in Hebrews, later on in Hebrews 11, I mean, actually, Hebrews 12, the Bible warns us, you know, not to follow Esau's example, you know, because he was also immoral, and, you know, he had a lust for all kinds of women, women in particular that didn't obey God or love God or, you know, believe in God, and women who were not godly and also just worshipped other gods. And it didn't matter to him who they were, and basically he just wanted them, and he added them to his collection of wives eventually. So, but basically, and also he married women that displeased his mother and father in the first place. So that also earned him many points, basically had earned him many points taken from him to be the main heir of his father's inheritance because mm-hmm. he wasn't a godly man and he wasn't a moral man. And this earned him more points taken away from him as the main heir. And he was also mm-hmm. a man who didn't pursue or see. Now, his twin brother, who was also the youngest, Jacob, on the other hand, even though he was quiet and he was mostly like a mama's boy, but he was a man who did pursue God and had more spiritual closeness and intimate relationship with God. And basically like his father, Isaac, and also Abraham, his grandfather, he was more in tune with the Lord and just really in seeking God's will. Even though, yes, he sinned like we all do. We have our flaws, and he was a liar. He did trick his brother twice, which was not a good thing to do. And again, this influence was passed on to him by his father, which wasn't a good thing. Lying isn't good. You know, Isaac had lied about his wife, Rebecca, which wasn't a good thing. And also prior to that, his father, Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, had also done the same thing with Sarah, lied about his wife. Of Sarah being just his sister and not his wife, even though she was really mm-hmm. his half-sister. But the whole point was that, you know, he lied, she was married to him, and it wasn't good. So basically here we see and learn how lying was passed along. That influence was passed along from father to son to grandson, and it wasn't a good thing. And eventually each of them learned as godly men, as men of God, you know, they learned how, you know, lying was not good. It led to nowhere, only to trouble. And in the end, they learned, you know, that they had to seek God's will by being truthful, by being honest. And eventually, even if it would put them in at risk, you know, but in the end, they learned this. Abraham learned it. His son learned it. Isaac learned it. And eventually, his grandson, Jacob, as well, learned it, you know, ultimately. And also, here we also see in the last chapter we read, which was in Genesis 29, that Jacob himself got tricked and deceived by his own uncle, okay, who was his mother's brother, Rebecca. And we see now how the tables turned on him. So Jacob realized, you know, how not only lying is wrong and how it hurts those around you and those you do it to, but in the end, if it's done to you, you're going to know what it feels like. And you're going to know what those whom you did it to felt when you did it to them. So in the end, he got tricked, okay, when he was given Leah to be his wife instead of Rachel to be his wife, because that was the woman he really wanted. And but in the end, he ended up marrying both of them. And basically, God blessed him, you know. And Jacob had, you know, left his sinful ways. He moved on and repented, you know. But indeed, God blessed him. And yes, he became the main heir and the one who would inherit Isaac's blessing, just as God saw fit that he should, because God saw fit that he would be the one who would inherit this blessing and not Esau all along. Remember that he had prophesied through the angel to Rebecca when she was pregnant with the twins before they were born. The angel told Rebecca, two nations are in your womb, and the two people who are inside of you, who are within you, will become separate. All right? One will be greater than the other. And then the angel also told Rebecca, and the older will serve the younger. So this was a prophecy, all right, that a prediction that eventually would be fulfilled. Jacob was the younger one, and indeed Esau, the older one, would serve his brother, evidently, just as God had foreseen and intended it to be, you know. So what was rightfully Esau's by tradition would actually belong to Jacob. God would give it to him instead. And, you know, there was also a saying in the book of Malachi where God spoke of the twins, Esau and Jacob, and how he was more pleased with Jacob than with Esau. God himself said in Malachi, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. You know, again, it was the hearts that God saw. Jacob had a heart for him. He loved him. He sought him, just like his father Isaac, and just like his grandfather Abraham. And that was the heart that God saw and that he loved about Jacob. Esau, on the other hand, didn't pursue God, and which was why God despised him and rejected him. You know, like Cain from of old, from the days of old, going back to the very beginning, you know, God picked Abel instead of Cain. Same story. History repeats itself. We see this again and again. And they were brothers, okay, the first two men who were born on earth. So here we are with two brothers also again in the story, Jacob and Esau. So now, later on, God blessed Jacob. And, you know, he did give him many children with Leah and Rachel. Basically, it talks about how, you know, his children increased. God blessed him, you know. He had Reuben, his firstborn, you know, eventually through, you know, Rachel, excuse me, through Leah, you know, and Rachel was barren at the moment. So, you know, yeah, like you were saying, Brother Carl, that she was desperate to have children because she saw that she felt she wasn't being blessed. And she felt like God didn't bless her or didn't love her and rejected her. And, you know, but basically God had plans for her, you know. And so, you know, the whole point was that in the end, God would give her children. And but she needed to learn how to be patient and to be faithful, like Sarah also from the days of old. OK, she was barren. Yeah. And, you know, eventually she took matters into her own hands and gave, you know, her husband, Abraham, to marry her servant, Ishmael, so that they, gave her servant Hagar, pardon me, so that they can have Ishmael together and she could build a family through them. But basically, that's not what God had intended. You know, God had intended to give her, you know, children through Abraham. So, and basically, that's how it was ordained too. Okay. You know, and so with Jacob, it would be the same thing. You know, Rachel would have children eventually. And, yes, you know, Leah had children, and God blessed her later on and gave Rachel children. You know, so here we read in Genesis 30. We're going to read, well, I mean, you already read more or less the chapter, chapter 30, and so how she was worried that she wasn't having any children. And, right. You know, she did become jealous of Leah, her sister, because she felt like maybe she was the favored one and she was blessed and not her, you know. And in ancient times, for women not to have children, it was considered a curse or a misfortune, or maybe they did something wrong and, you know, therefore they didn't have children, you know. So, you know, for them not to have children was a big thing. It was something sacred, and it was an honor and a blessing for women to have children. It was disgraceful and dishonorable for a woman who didn't have children. At least, you know, it was considered that, you know, something happened, or, you know, they didn't deserve it, or God saw not to give it to them, and, you know, they felt cursed. And so it was a great mm-hmm. dishonor for women who didn't have children back then. Right. When they didn't have children, that's how they felt. And so, but in the end, you know, she persevered, and God did bless her. You know, he gave her children as well through Jacob. Even though at first she did grab him and told him, you know, give me children now or I'll die, you know. And Jacob was angry with her. You know, I mean, basically he was indignant. And he told her, look, please, you know, who do you think I am, God, that I have kept you from having children? What's wrong with you? You know, so that's not my problem. That's not me. Tell that to God, not me. You know, take it up with him, you know. So who am I that you should take this up with? I'm not God. I have not stopped you from having children, you know. So, but later on, you know, as we read along in the story, she did learn patience and humility, and eventually, you know, she did it the right way. She did it God's way, you know. So basically, we're going to cover Genesis 30. We already covered most of it already, but basically that's what the chapter is about. Just the fact that she, you know, didn't have children at the time, but later on God did bless her with children, you know, evidently. So You know, and so later on, Leah and Rachel, and even there was another person also who was a maidservant of them, who also had married Jacob, Bila, and, you know, she too had children for Jacob. So, you know, God did bless him with many children, and he, you know, like I said, Jacob had Leah, Rachel, he had also another one, he had Bila. He had several wives with which he established a family and, you know, had children with. And God had blessed him with many children. So, you know, and eventually all these children, they grew up. And, you know, like God had blessed Abraham and Isaac, and God had foretold that, you know, they would definitely be fruitful and become a nation. So this was being fulfilled little by little. It was fulfilled through Abraham, fulfilled through Isaac, and it would continue to be fulfilled through Jacob here, you know. So... But I'm going to just, you know, read real quick, you know, just chapter 30, real quick, all right? I'm going to start up at, basically, we read 29, 31, but I'll pick up from there and I'll finish off at 24, okay? So it says, real quickly, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben. For she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. So all these children were given names, and each name had a meaning. And in the ancient world, names had meanings. You were actually given a name for a reason. You weren't named just like that for no reason, for nothing. No, you were given a name for a reason, and it had a meaning. And you actually lived up to your name, and that was the reason why they gave you that name, because you would live up to that name, or that is who you were, or who you would become, or what you would live up to. And she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children right then and there. So then we read in chapter 30, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then he said, "Here is Bila, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." Well, it looks like she's doing the same thing that Sarah did here with Abraham, with her servant Hagar, as I mentioned before. So she gave him her servant Bila as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan, although that wasn't really her son. It was actually Bila's son. Rachel's servant Bila conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister. I have won, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. Okay, so all these names had meanings, okay? When Leah saw that she stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah, okay, another servant, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. So she named him Gad. Okay, and basically Gad basically meant good fortune or a troop. All right, so all these names had meanings. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, and then Leah said, "How happy I am! The woman will call me happy." So she named him Asher. Okay, and Asher means happy. Again, all these names had meanings, and they were given a name for a reason. During the wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he bought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in the fields, when he came from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him.
You must sleep with me, she said. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband. So she named him Issachar, okay, which basically means reward. Okay, Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor, because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulon, all right, which means honor. Okay, sometime later she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. All right, so now we see how God was really blessing Jacob. He was increasing not only his children, but increasing his property, increasing everything, you know, that he had around him for the sake of his father Isaac, and to bless, in keeping with the blessing he promised Isaac, his father, and Abraham, his grandfather. And then we go on in verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel. Right here, this is where it gets intense. God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And God said, she said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. And basically here, the name Joseph means may he add, okay? It also means fruitful. So God did bless her and made her fruitful, evidently, with a son, you know. And later on, she would also bear another son, you know, to Jacob, Benjamin. And we'll read on in that chapter. That was basically the son that eventually would cause her life. You know, she would have complications giving birth to him. But we'll read that much further on. But basically, in the end, God did bless Jacob with many children, just as he had promised, in keeping with the promise that he promised him, and also his father Isaac before him, and his grandfather Abraham way before him. So, and then also we'll read in verse 25, and verse 25 is intense because here we see again God blessed he did not only bless him with a great, large family, but he also blessed his property and everything he owned, even his animals. All right, his flocks increased. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Okay, he was living in Padan Aram for many years. All right? He served Laban, his uncle, for 7 years for Rachel, but basically he tricked him and gave him Leah instead. But then later on, he served them another 7 years and eventually gave him Rachel. And, you know, God had blessed him. He had worked for Laban, his uncle, and he had given him two wives. And, of course, later on, you know, Leah had given him his servant. Rachel had given him a servant of her own as well because she couldn't have children. So, but eventually it all turned out perfect because they had a large family. And then in the end, Rachel herself bore Jacob a son, and it was Joseph. So, but now we see how his flock was increasing greatly. You know, God had given him, had blessed him immensely. All right. So, and he had lived in Mesopotamia, and, well, which is now present day Iraq. He had lived there for many years, and now it was time for him to head back home to the land of Canaan, the land we now call present day Israel. Okay. So he was headed back over there, all right, where he had been born. And so it says in verse 26, give me my wives and my children for whom I served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much I've worked, okay? You know how much work I've done for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. He added, name your wages and I will pay them. Jacob said to him, you know how I worked for you and how your livestock has farred under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now when may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you? He asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep. every dark-colored lamb, every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages. Okay, my so basically here, and verse 33, we continue reading, and may honesty, okay, and any and my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark colored, will be considered stolen. Agreed, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees, and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. He then placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks. When they came to drink, when the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they made it in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young flock of, by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and manservants and camels and donkeys. Wow, I mean, this was really intense here because we see now how God had blessed Jacob, increased his property, increased his flocks, gave him more servants than ever before. Men servants, maid servants. I mean, he was actually a lot greater and more prosperous than his father Isaac had been, and even Abraham, his grandfather, put together. I mean, God doubled blessed him, tripled blessed him. He had more servants, more animals, more flocks, which he also produced on his own by simply separating them and causing them to mate in front of poplar branches, okay? This was actually, a lot of people tend to question the scripture here, this chapter alone, particularly atheists. They tend to say this is impossible, this can never be done, this method is definitely not scientifically proven, and it is impossible. Well, actually, it is a possible technique, and it has been done by shepherds since the days of old. It is a technique that only shepherds or goat herders actually knew very well how to practice. And basically, it was an ancient technique, okay? This is simply before cloning or basically before cloning, okay? What we call cloning today, producing some kind of a genetic organism or something by DNA. If we take the DNA of a certain particular animal or whatever, or let's say a human, and we can produce a clone or whatever from that DNA or blood or genetic information to produce another one like it, or, you know, this can be done today through cloning, what scientists would call cloning today. Well, this method actually was done 3,000 years ago, and by shepherds with their lambs, with their goats, with their sheep, with their flocks. And this was an ancient technique that they did, and it's definitely scientifically possible to do it. This is actually called fertility breeding. Okay, fertility breeding. Some atheists claim that Jacob believed in some kind of magic sticks. The entire passage also aligns with known genetic science. Okay, the purpose of breeding. In Hebrew, the term conceive is literally to be hot or to be in heat. as we read here, okay, the Bible doesn't say the branches were visual stimulants, as many assert. The chemical given off had an aphrodisiac effect on the stock. That's why Jacob put them in the water when the strong sheep were in the troves. Mandrake is a common drug used for fertility, also in that chapter. This is very interesting to know. Okay. Again, as I mentioned earlier, this had something to do with the power of genetics. Okay. And basically, you have a, for instance, you had a large W uppercase, which was a large one, right, is the symbol for a dominant trait. Now, a small W would be a lowercase. Okay. It would be the symbol for a recessive trait. White is genetically dominant in sheep. Color is recessive. Laban, in removing the speckled and spotted two small W's, okay, for instance, from the sheep, which were the lower case from the sheep, okay, from the herd, still left what's known as the heterozygous, refers to a specific genotype. Sheep that are, let's say, capital W and small W, which of course would be half uppercase and half lowercase in his flock, okay, these are the sheep that are white but carry the recessive gene for color. When a heterozygous ram mates with a heterozygous O, okay, E-W-E, the offspring will be about 50-50, white and speckled. When only speckled and spotted rams, let's say, for instance, were both small W's or a small lowercase, are mating with the one that's large W, small W, that is one uppercase, one lowercase O's, all the offspring will be speckled and spotted. There is no possibility of a two large W or two uppercase, okay, in the litter from a two small W, two lowercase ram. After enough heterozygous crossbreeding, there would be there would remain no homozygous, that is two W large W's or two uppercase sheep in the herd. That means that the entire herd is either one large W, one small W, that is one uppercase and one lowercase, or they're both small W's, that is they're both lowercase. All future generations will be speckled and spotted. So the only way to maintain a pure white herd is to allow the two large W or uppercase and two large W to mate and or immediately call those with color. Laban was not aware of when he initially separated all the speckled sheep from his herd and turned it over to Jacob. Even with no knowledge of genetics, after, oh my God, after 90 years of experience herding and breeding, Jacob was well aware, I mean, of wives' tales, you know, versus what actually worked, okay? The material impression theory of visual stimulation remains in the realm of superstition. All right, so basically Jacob knew, okay, and was very well aware of wives' tales, okay, versus what actually did work. And this technique worked very well, which is why he practiced it and he did it and it worked, okay? The material impression, okay, the theory of visual stimulation remains in the realm of superstition, okay? So once again, Jacob's fertile brew, okay, from what we read in Genesis chapter 30, particularly in verse 37, and Jacob took, all right, he took with him, okay, rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree. And, okay, he pilled, okay, white streaks in them and made the white appear, which was in the rods, all right, as we read in Genesis 30, verse 38. And he set the rods which he had pilled, basically, before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs. Okay, so when the flocks came to drink, okay, that they should conceive when they came to drink. Genesis 30:39, and the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, okay, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. Okay, the mandrakes that Jacob used to mate the sheep, and the lambs was common knowledge of that day. Okay? Mandrake is a plant that calms somebody down, or in this case, animals getting, getting them ready, and chances of them being more fertile is increased. Chances of fertility is better when someone is calm. He peeled the mandrake and plant that they were obviously eating and licking, calming them down and making them fertile. That's exactly what happened when the sisters shared mandrake. In Genesis 30:14, Leah finds mandrake in a field. DNA was clearly understood by the speckled and the spotted sheep and goats. Jacob just knew how to match them. All right, so, I mean, this is really intense because Jacob breeds the herd, okay, and mandrake is the common name for members of the plant genus Mandragora, similar to the mandrake root, and reputedly has fertility-enhancing properties. Peeling the plant for the fertility. Peeling the mandrake made the sheep lick the source to help fertility. He then knew how to mate the spotted and speckled. All right? And this has been scientifically proven. In a paper by Dr. Joshua Bakken, who teaches at the Hebrew University of Medicine, okay, cites study of epigenetics, which is a study of how prenatal nutrition can affect the agouti gene that can affect fur color in both sheep and mice. The study demonstrates that fungi that resides in the bark of three specific types of branches listed in Genesis 30 do provide the chemicals that compromise, okay, the exact amino acid to create alterations in the color of fur without having any direct effect on the DNA. Dr. Josh Klein, a plant pathologist, an expert on plant fungi at the Volcani Research Institute of the Israeli Ministry of Agriculture, suggested that there are fungi as filaments under the bark of these trees that would contain these specific amino acids. He stated that these fungi are very host-specific. Peeling the bark could make these fungi available for water extraction of their components. All right, so, I mean, this is really intense here because we see that this is scientifically proven, and it definitely has worked, and it was a common practice by shepherds and goat herders in the ancient world. But basically, this is just intense. Because a lot of people doubt the scripture, and also because of what it specifies about, mating sheep with mandrake. It was actually very possible. It was very, it was a common practice, and it was done back then, okay? Basically now, here in verse 31, we're just going to stop for a few brief moments, and I'll let Carl, if you want to share anything on this, say anything, my brother.
Yeah, sure. Just to shed some light, as you said, it's all about patience and waiting, really. Because in the beginning, as we both said, Rachel was desperate to have children but couldn't have any. Later on in the chapter, we see that God hears her and finally decides to open up her womb, and then she's able to have kids, and not only from Rachel's standpoint but from Jacob's standpoint as well. Jacob is blessed with multiple cattle. He got what he wanted. So it all boils down to having patience and waiting, you know, and that's something that we all have to learn, even myself included. Like, you know, I can easily say that I'm a very patient person. I have lots of patience. But then, of course, there's those times where my patience decides to wear thin, and I'm like, I get very impatient at some points. But you know, it's always important, you know, like if God promises you something, then you know you will get it or you will receive it at the appointed time. And you know, one other thing that I found interesting was when you Felix was talking, I didn't really understand, like, you know, plants were able to help animals mate. I didn't really understand that or know that until you mentioned it this evening. So I found that quite interesting, to be honest. I'm glad that you brought that up, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know it's very profound and not something very commonly talked about or discussed. But it's actually called fertility breeding. You can look it up. You can Google it. You can look it up, you know, online on the internet and find out more about it. And as I mentioned before, Dr. Joshua Backen, okay, who basically was a professor at the Hebrew University of Medicine. He spoke about epigenetics, which is a study of how prenatal nutrition can affect the agouti, that's A-G-O-U-T-I, gene, the agouti gene, that can affect fur color in both sheep and mice. So basically, you know, this is pretty major because it's based on genetics. It basically talks about genetics. And now these people, I mean, they lived 3,000 years ago, okay? And you would think they had no knowledge whatsoever of what we would now refer to as genetics or modern genetics. But they actually had more knowledge about it than what we think they didn't. They had extremely incredible knowledge about it, just not in the advanced scientific way that we do today, but they did have a knowledge of it in their own scientific method and way back then, 3,000 years ago. Just to show you again, man is not primitive. We didn't evolve from a monkey. Man didn't start out dumb or was an animal and then became a wise man or a homo sapien, as they want to call it. Man was intelligent from the beginning of time. And man has always been man, and animals have always been animals, and that's it. So, but basically, it's just amazing how this plant called mandrake, which actually belonged to the Mangora genus, plant genus called Mangora. Basically, it has many fertility enhancing properties, and was used for breeding to help many animals mm-hmm. breed, particularly sheep and goats. Yep. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carl.
No. I was just agreeing with you. So carry on.
But basically, yeah. So you know, we read the same thing here also in Genesis 31. The story picks up as well, talking about you know, fertility breeding. You know, we continue to read a little more about it here when he flees from Laban here. Okay, and basically, we go on in verse 31, and we see that Jacob flees from Laban, okay, after Laban told him not to leave, to work for him for a few more years, and they had a deal, a binding deal, all right, that they were supposed to work together for a few more years for him not to leave just yet with all the children and everything and all the property he had acquired and whatever. But he left with the best of the flocks that he had, the strong ones, while he gave his uncle Laban the weak ones. Right there, that wasn't a good thing to do because that was not respectful, and it was also, you know, you were conning the guy. You were tricking him again. You see that we got – that's not good. Okay, so Jacob had to learn again. You can't do that, okay? Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has everything, okay? Jacob heard Laban's sons, okay, that they were saying, Jacob has everything. and our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to him, to them, I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flock gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here am I, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating in the flock with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Then Rachel and Leah replied, do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told you. Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to share his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Okay? Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, and crossing the river, that is the Euphrates, he headed for the hill country of Gilead. Okay? So basically we see here, not only did God tell him to leave, but he didn't even, not only did God tell Jacob to go back to his native land, to his home country, but he also didn't even tell his uncle that he was leaving, you know, and so, you know, by this, his uncle felt tricked again, you know, so, and this was definitely not a good thing. And here we see Laban pursuing Jacob now, okay, his nephew. Verse 22, okay, it says, on the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled, taking his relatives with him. He pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? You deceived me, and you have carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you, but last night the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house, but why did you steal my gods? Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, I shall not live in the presence of your relatives. See your for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me, and if so, take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. and Laban searched through everything in the tent but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I am having my period." Okay, the Bible mentions everything. So he searched out and could not find the household gods. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. "What is my crime?" he asked Laban. "What sin have I committed that you have hunt me down, that you have searched through all my goods? What have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years and for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flocks. And you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you." Laban answered Jacob, "The women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine. Yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine, or about the children they have borne? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I. Let it serve as a witness between us." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, "Gather some stones." So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jegar Sahadutha, and Jacob called it Galeed. All right? Jegar Sahadutha is actually Aramaic, which was the language Laban originally spoke. It was actually the ancestral language. It was a family. It was a language actually that Abraham himself had spoken when he was back home in Mesopotamia. And Jegar Sahadutha means a witness heap. Okay. Now Jacob had named it Galeed. Okay. That's G-A-L-E-E-D, which actually means the same thing in Hebrew, witness heap. So basically, that heap that they built would be a witness between the both of them, of their covenant, their agreement, binding agreement with each other, which they swore never to break. So basically, Laban said, okay, in verse 48, "This heap is a witness between you and me today. That is why it was called Galeed. It was also called Mizpah," all right, Mizpah, which is another word, which means watchtower, okay? "Because he said, may the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take any wives besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me." Laban also said to Jacob, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this is a pillar witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. After they had eaten, they spent the night there. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. So, I mean, this was quite a big family dispute that happened here with Jacob and his uncle Laban. And, you know, we see that, you know, not only was his uncle unfair to him by, you know, changing his wages and making him work extra hard, you know, but not paying him as much for what he had worked so hard for and what he really deserved. But we see also Jacob trying to flee and run away without even letting him know that he was leaving with his children, which, of course, were his grandchildren and his daughters, you know, Jacob's wives. And, you know, basically that wasn't a good thing. But again, we see how God came in between these two people and how he protected Jacob and also tried to keep the peace between him and his uncle, and that they should make a binding agreement together. All right. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to know that, again, you know, they also had household gods. Back in the ancient world, people believed that household gods would protect their homes or keep their houses safe. So they had statues or little idols of gods, which, of course, was idolatry. And at this time, of course, not everybody fully feared God or worshipped him. So like Jacob did, of course, and like Isaac and Abraham did. So at this time, they still had a little idolatry, a little paganism to them that they needed to get rid of. And so, of course, later on, through Jacob, God does let the family in on the fact that, you know, he is the only God and they are to revere and worship him only, you know. And, you know, Jacob makes it clear to them that only the Lord is God and that, you know, he was the God of his father, Isaac. He's the fear of Isaac and the God of Abraham, all right, and the God of Nahor, okay, Abraham's brother. So, you know, from of old. So, and basically God is the one who is in control of everything here and no other God is. And he is the one who brought these two people who had a feud and a little quarrel and beef. He brought them to terms of peace by making this covenant, which they did make, which, of course, was a heap that they built. And this heap was to be a witness between them of this covenant that they would make, this binding agreement that they would make with each other and keep with each other. Permanently from that moment on, you know. So afterwards, of course, Laban got a chance to kiss his grandchildren and his daughters goodbye and let them go, send them back on their way with Jacob back to the land of Canaan. So, but basically it was more or less a, you know, dispute that ended in good terms and peace. But with that having been said, we're going to cover this session tonight, Genesis 30 and 31, and I hope you have all, you know, listened carefully, paid careful attention, learned a great deal. And so definitely, hopefully we'll be on again next week, and we'll definitely cover some more of Genesis. We'll cover Genesis 32 and 33. And basically, Genesis 32 talks about how Jacob, eventually, when he comes back home, he prepares to meet his brother Esau. And also in verse chapter 33, he meets him, finally, and the brothers reunite. They, you know, many years of hostility towards one another ends, and, you know, Esau forgives him, and, you know, they make the peace once again, and they're brothers once again. So, but we'll cover that next time. But thank you all so much for, you know, being here live with us. And hopefully we'll see, hear from you again next week. Carl, if there's anything you want to add. Hello? Hello?
Oh, no.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I had my mic muted.
But no, don't worry.
I've been here the whole time, but for real, this has been totally awesome. Just as I said before, you know, it's always a pleasure to either host Bible study or to just listen in, and you know, as I said in the beginning of the show, that it's always a blessing, always learning something new with these Bible studies. I mean, you can listen to a pastor lecture or whatnot, but sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes you don't understand what the pastor might be teaching or saying. But
But we come on here every week or every once in a while do our own version of Bible study, and you know, me personally, honestly, I like our version a lot better, because you know, everything gets dissected, everything gets understood. You know, we give you something that you could you know, chew on, something you could you know, just maybe think about in your mind until the next Bible study. And you know, I'm totally looking forward to Genesis 32 and 33. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to that. So you know, I'm always grateful for my co-host Felix here. Sometimes we, as I said before, we are busy. We do have like our own personal lives that, you know, that we have to take care of. But you know, that's just it. You know, life happens. But you know, we're always here. You know, if you have questions, you know, you can reach us in our Facebook group, the Waywalkers group. You know, if you have any questions or comments, you know, you can come at us directly, you know, and you know, as always, you're always able to call our number. You can call our number 917-889-3226, or maybe you don't want to call in, maybe you want to drop a line at the Waywalkers at hotmail.com. You know, that's our email. So you know, we're always here to answer questions. And you know, we're always welcome to your feedback. And you know, we do post our shows in our group, so keep an eye open for that. And you know, as a personal thing, I will be personally sharing some of our older shows from time to time. You know, I'll be sharing some of our classic shows. So just in case you missed something, or maybe you want to review or refresh your memory on a certain show or certain topic, you know, I personally will be putting those older classic shows on from the beginning and moving forward. So, you know, just something to look out for as well. You know, so with that being said, I'm just going to, well, first and foremost, thank you, Felix, for joining me tonight. You know,
hey,
it's always a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, definitely. It's good to be back. Thank you,
yes,
all for listening.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. And with that being said, I'm just going to close us out with a prayer. So, Heavenly Father, tonight I thank you once again for this time of Bible study. Thank you for allowing Brother Felix and myself to share this word. You know, to thank you for giving us a chance to bring forth what was in our hearts, what was in our minds. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just continue to bless the listeners. You know, thank you for our new listeners. Thank you for our faithful listeners that come in from time to time. You know, I pray that someone has been blessed. I pray that someone has received from what we said tonight. You know, and I continue to pray that, you know, that this ministry will continue to grow. I pray that, you know, this ministry will always be successful. You know, I pray for all the other Waywalker hosts. I pray for all the Waywalker members tonight. Lord God Jesus, I pray a special blessing over our lives, over our families' lives tonight. In your name, Father, I say thank you. Once again, I say thank you for where you have brought us and where you're going to take us. In your name, Jesus, we pray these blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. So as I said before, keep your eyes open for when our next show is, and just be ready and stay tuned. May God, bless you all. Be well. Have a good night, and always remember to put God first in everything that you do. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Night. God bless.
God bless.